Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2006. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner located at Pod 532 on the Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Welcome back, folks, the Java.net Community Corner. It's time for our final mini talk of the day. This will be our very own editor, Chris Adamson. He will be speaking about his project, Lloyd, which extends QuickTime for Java. Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, thank you, Gary. The mic is on. That's good. All right. My talk is called Lloyd Extends QuickTime for Java. And you're probably wondering what Lloyd is. Well, let me give you a preview of this presentation. What you're going to have in the next 20 minutes of fun, you'll have cheap shots at other media frameworks. You'll see some truly gnarly C code, you'll see a working webcam preview, and you'll get a plug for my book. I just thought I would set expectations appropriately for this presentation. So, you're saying, quick what for, huh? Let me tell you about QuickTime for Java. QuickTime for Java is a set of Java wrappers to the native QuickTime Multimedia API. It is not a port of QuickTime to Java. In a sense, you can say it's from Java to QuickTime, not QuickTime for Java. Now, essentially, all the QuickTime 6 functionality was exposed to Java. This was a project that Apple started about 1997. They kept up with it pretty faithfully into the early 2000s. So every time they put new API calls in the native QuickTime, which should be called from straight C or one of the other flavors of C, usually C++, nowadays OBC over in the Cocoa world, those would eventually get wrapped in QuickTime for Java calls. So you got this generally growing base of capabilities. Beyond that, you also had the fact that a lot of things they do in QuickTime to expand what you can do with it don't have anything to do with new API calls. A lot of times they'll just add a new media format, add some new media codecs. You pick those up for free because you just try to open a movie and QuickTime will say, what format is this in? It'll discover it, you can open it. So even without a new API call, you can open things like iTunes Music Store songs. You can open things like H.264 movies and MPEG-4 files. So what you get out of QuickTime for Java is you get media playback, audio, video, text for captions. You get this sort of virtual reality that's popular in the QuickTime world where people take panoramic pictures and you can mouse around it. And it also supports Flash 5, which is pretty nice. And you can programmatically inspect the variables in a Flash 5 presentation and work with them from your own code. You also, in QuickTime, get a media creation API. You have capture of both audio and video, and theoretically, you can capture any media type. You could have a text capture, for example, that would maybe pull out closed captions from television and put it into a movie. You have editing, so you can say, I want this piece of media. It's very important for just trimming things down. It integrates with the copy and paste of the macOS, and also it runs on Windows. So when you copy a piece of video or audio in QuickTime on Windows, it goes into your system clipboard there. You get video effects. You get the export to and from many different formats. The thing about QuickTime for Java is, as I said, it's just wrappers from Java to the native API. So it only works on platforms that have the native QuickTime API, which means that right now this is a Mac and Windows product only. At this time, Apple doesn't have a reason to spend money to bring it to Linux. If we can find a reason to get Apple to bring it to Linux, like selling more iPods, that would be a great thing for everybody. So now you're thinking, well, gee, Chris, this is Java 1. Why don't you use the Java Media Framework, which is Sun's official media API? Well, JMF sucks. That's why we don't use JMF. Saying, Chris, you just put sucks on a slide. Back that up. Okay. What sucks about JMF? Well, it doesn't play any modern codecs. The most modern video codec it plays is Cinepak, which went out of style about 6 years ago. It has no editing APIs. So once you capture some video, you can't cut it down to just the pieces that you want. It's generally backed up by native code to make it run suitably fast because multimedia tends to be very processor intensive. Somehow, the people at the JMF projects thought it'd be a really good idea to write a Solaris version and also a really good idea not to write a Mac version. So for all you people out there, you know, editing movies on Solaris, yay team. And the fact is Sun has obviously abandoned JMF. This is the homepage of JMF as of this morning. What's new is dated November 2004. So JMF is done, and we need to do something else. And it's really interesting, actually, that Apple never intended QuickTime for Java to be this gift to the Java world. They never intended to write a general purpose Java Media API. What happened was back in 97, it looked like everybody was leaving the native languages and going over to C. QuickTime was a crown jewel of the company. They're like, well, crud, if everyone's going over to Java, we got to have a way for the Java programmers to still call back into QuickTime. So they weren't interested in taking care of Java programmers. They were interested in taking care of QuickTime programmers as they made a presumed language migration, which really on the desktop never fully happened, or those who went to Java eventually came back to the native languages. So how is QTJ better? Well, it supports all these modern codecs we use today. MPEG-4, MPEG-3, H.264, AAC, Sorenson Video 3, Flash 5. Most everything you use today is supported by QuickTime, including some stuff you didn't really know is supported by QuickTime. DivX, XVid, Thrivix, Windows Media Audio, and Windows Media Video are available through third-party components that you can just plug into QuickTime, and a QuickTime for Java application will pick up those components. So if you've picked up the component to play Windows Media, you're going to get your Windows Media on your Mac with QuickTime for Java. It's got a great editing API. Like I said, you can just copy and paste directly into the system clipboard from a Java application with one line of code. You also get low-level sample access, so you can, like, if you're dealing with audio, you can look at the audio samples, you can draw your waveform, you can make a really beautiful podcast editor or something. And Dick Wall at the Java Posse was complaining that he was trying to write a podcast editor with JMF and it didn't work. Dick, try QTJ. Also, it plays the iTunes Music Store songs, the ones that you buy from the store and are DRM'd, so other stuff can't play them. It doesn't seem to play the TV shows, and I don't know why that is. It might be because it'd be really easy to do a screen grab and start copying that. I'm not sure, but right now you can't do it. And there's an API to inspect the DRM to see if something is DRM, but I don't know that you can necessarily assert credentials to do anything with it. QuickTime for Java is even nicer than using regular QuickTime. Now, QuickTime for Java gives you a sensible class hierarchy instead of like thousands and thousands and thousands of functions, because remember, real QuickTime is meant to be called from straight C. That means you don't get things like exceptions. The typical straight C QuickTime code has to do this. When you make a function call, most of them return an error code. You, after every single function call into QuickTime, you have to check back if that error code equals the constant no error. And if it isn't no error, then you have to go branch off into your error handling and start cleaning things up. You know, if you have like five or six QuickTime functions in a row, it's sort of like to just wrap that in a try-catch. It's really fun if the function doesn't return an error code, but rather just sets this little sticky error somewhere. So after calling your QuickTime function, you have to call another QuickTime function to say, did the first QuickTime function have a problem? So that's an incredible hassle when you write in C. And if you write in QuickTime for Java, you get an instaport between the two platforms, Mac and Windows. The only catch here is endianness. Now that we have Intel Macs, you generally have to be aware of that anyway. So if you are if you're dealing with something where you're munging low-level bits, if you're masking something, if you say, hey, I got 32 bits here that are ARGB, well, maybe they are on PowerPC, but if you're on Intel, maybe they're GRBA, because all the endianness gets flipped on you. Now, there is a catch with QuickTime for Java, and here it is. The JDK 1.3 for the Mac used the Carbon APIs. That in that world, they use something called JDirect, which is a really nice way to call native code, arguably superior to JNI. It was so nice that they built QuickTime for Java on this. Well, then in JDK 1.4, they switched to Cocoa for reasons of better interoperability of the threading models between Java and Cocoa as opposed to Java and Carbon, because Carbon dates back to the old Mac toolbox on the classic Mac. Well, when that happened, that broke JDirect, and they didn't go and fix JDirect. So something that's completely dependent on JDirect, like QuickTime for Java, got totally, totally broken. So Java 1.4 came out for the Mac, and everybody's QuickTime for Java apps totally died. They put out a fix like about 6-9 months later, and it's called QuickTime for Java 6.1. It replaces most of the stuff that got broken with a straight JNI approach. So it changed a lot of the programming metaphors in QuickTime for Java. You used to do like, you would like create a component and then set the movie that goes into it. Now you start with the movie and ask for a component. So some things are a little reversed, and people had to really do a fair amount of rewriting on their apps to get them to work in this new world. Some of the classes they gave us that were really gifts, like this compositor that would let you do layers and layers of graphics on top of one another, they didn't do new versions of that. And the worst thing that happened was we lost the GUI component to get the on-screen preview from a camera, which just kills us, and it's still not back. Now, that said, most of QuickTime for Java is straight C calls to the old to the QuickTime API. None of those needed changes because they didn't go through Carbon, they didn't go through Cocoa, they went straight to a C call. So if you have anything in the package, quicktime.std, a couple others, quicktime.io, quicktime.util, all of those calls work just fine. They didn't change. It's just the GUI stuff that changed. And this was like 2 years ago. So the QuickTime for Java world has gotten over this, and things are fairly cool now. Now, the thing is, since QuickTime for Java 6.1, really the only activity we've seen from Apple has been bug fixes. And QuickTime 7, which came out last year, put some new APIs in there that we haven't seen yet in QuickTime for Java. There's a metadata API, so you can take an arbitrary media file that you can open in QuickTime, whether that be a music store file or an MP3 or even a movie you've just put annotations into, and with the same API you can say, give me all the metadata about this, look up the author, look up the copyright, or just tell me whatever metadata there is and I'll look through it. There's support for something called frame reordering codecs. This is like H.264. Before some of these really modern codecs, you'd have like the oldest stuff like MJPEG, you know, you'd just have every frame would have all the data for the image. Then after that, you got these temporally compressed video formats where you'd have a keyframe with all the data, and then a couple of the frames would say, well, look back 3 frames and here's the differences, but that saved a lot of space. Now you have these frame reordering codecs where you might have a keyframe, and here's a couple frames that depend on that, and here's a frame at the end that actually depends on a frame that's coming up 2 frames away. Those are called B frames, bidirectionally predicted frames. And the only thing is, they require a few new API calls. Those haven't been put into QuickTime for Java yet, so we cannot programmatically build H.264 in QuickTime for Java. We have some new sound APIs that are a lot like Core Audio. Those haven't been exposed in QTJ yet, and some new ways to create movie objects. So, you know, we're thinking, we want the QuickTime for Java community to hang in there, because this is still a really nice project. I mean, it's hard to learn. There's a whole lot of capability. So that's why we kicked off the Lloyd project. And it was something where a lot of people on the QuickTime for Java list were saying the same kinds of things and saying, I need to do this, and I think I'm going to do it this way. I think I'm going to do it this way. And I said, I was like writing like 3 or 4 of these things myself. I said, you know, I'm just going to start open sourcing this. And maybe if we get enough people behind it, we'll finally just get all the things we all need to do in one place and it'll be done. I opened it like a month or two ago. It's still in the Mac incubator because I don't have enough code for it to be interesting yet. But this is my mission statement. The Lloyd Project seeks to bring new features to QuickTime for Java until and unless Apple decides to pick up the ball again. Because if they start writing it, I don't have to. And that'd be cool. So what Lloyd can bring to QTJ? Well, we can bring open source implementations of Java wrappers to native functionality not exposed by QTJ. The things that came into QuickTime 7 that we've talked about just a minute ago, like metadata and frame reordering codecs. We could write some classes that'll be a more natural integration of QuickTime for Java into typical Java apps. We can write, you know, there. For example, you can, if you are in the AWT world, QuickTime for Java will give you both a movie player component and it'll give you a control component. If you're in Swing, you can get the movie player component, but it doesn't have a control component. So that's something you have to write yourself. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should all just write one decent Swing movie control component, put it out there for everybody to use, and then we're done. And maybe we'll write some better versions of stuff that doesn't work particularly well in QTJ. So here's the wish list for some of the first things that are worth working on this project. I'm already starting to work on metadata, and we'll see that in a few slides. Deal with frame reordering codecs, because Java programmers might want to build, you know, H.264 files. You know, if you want the best possible video quality today, it might be nice to actually have it. Java integration, we talked about there's no video capture preview component, so while you can capture from your webcam, you can't see what you're doing, which is really a deal killer, and that has to get fixed immediately. And we want better AWT Swing, or maybe even SWT components. We could have level meters for the loudness or quietness of both when you're playing audio or capturing it. We could have a better scrubber bar. If you look at the default scrubber bar, you don't get to set nice in and out points like in QuickTime Pro Player. Maybe a waveform preview like you see in Sound Studio, like you see in GarageBand. Maybe a timeline editor like you also see in GarageBand or Final Cut. We could do a lot of neat things here, and a lot of them we can do just in Java. So here's an example, metadata. Wow, this is really taking a long time. I hope I don't go over my 20 minutes. The metadata API wraps a lot of forms of metadata. the ID3 tags from MP3 files, AAC, iTunes metadata, or you can even just go into a QuickTime movie and just assign some arbitrary strings in there, and you can find it with this API. I think this API was probably put into QuickTime for the sake of the Sherlock search feature. And it can be really nice in various workflows. You could tag all your video related to a certain project or something a certain way. You might even be able to script that. And then you can just have your Java app go and find all that matching media. Or it's really nice in just a player. You know, if you're going to play an MP3, you want to pull up the artist and the cover art and all that stuff. So this is what it looks like in native C code. Children, avert your eyes. This is a straight C call. The metadata is a pointer to an object that is just the metadata for a specific movie file. The storage format is an int saying what we're looking for. The current item is this crazy QuickTime thing. I'll explain in a moment how you say, this is what I have, give me the next thing that comes after it. A key format describes the format you want back. A pointer to where it can put the data it passes back to you. The size of how big that block of memory is. Do you remember memory management, kids? Oh, and finally, the address for it to hand you back the thing that it gives you. Because it can't return you like a block of bytes or an object. And oh my God, I don't miss C. So, smooth, warm Java. This is a lot of code, but it's actually very simple. You see this yellow part here? That's Lloyd's replacement of the previous call. Get next item. So I have a Qt metadata item. I say get the next item from this one. The wildcard constant means that I just want you to pass back any metadata you find. I'm not looking specifically for just the author tags, just the copyright tags. Important thing to remember about metadata, it confuses people, you don't have just one of each tag. It's not necessarily like a properties list in Java. You could have any number of authors, you could have any number of copyright or comment or any other statements, and you pass in the item you got, and you say, I forget what the null does there. Well, let's not worry about it. So what this while loop does is you're basically saying, while I'm getting back items that aren't null, go and get that item and pull out all the metadata. Now, this is kind of nicer. One of the things that QuickTime for Java does, and I've chosen to do this in Lloyd, I'll explain that at the end of the slide, QuickTime for Java hones fairly closely to a lot of the C programming practices from QuickTime. For example, when you iterate over an unknown number of items in QuickTime, you pass in the last one you got and say, get the next one. So the first time you do this, you pass null, and you say, give me the first one. That means give me the first one in the list. You hold on to that one you got for the next call and say, well, here's the first one I got, give me the second one. Well, we could wrap that in a numerator, but that'd be very Java-like. And here's the thing that's interesting about that. Since nothing else in QuickTime for Java behaves that way, I don't know that I want to start introducing that paradigm in Lloyd, because then if people start seriously using Lloyd, they're going to say, oh, well, I can program kind of like Java because I'm using this package, but oh, I'm back in Apple's package. I can't program like it's Java anymore. I'd almost rather deliberately do it what I consider the wrong way, because it's Apple's way, because it'll be consistent with everything else you would be doing working with QuickTime for Java. It's very much a Hobson's choice, because almost like I'm deliberately doing things that I know I hate, but everything else in the QuickTime for Java API feels like that, and I want to be consistent with the way they do it. So that's why this last point on the slide says, Lloyd prefers to stick with QuickTime for Java conventions rather than introduce new programming paradigms. So, the video preview challenge. This is the most wanted missing feature in QuickTime for Java 6.1. Video capture, even though it works, you can capture this stuff to your drive, it's kind of pointless without being able to see what you're capturing right now. The thing is, like I said, capturing it to your drive works fine. There are native solutions we could do for this. You know, get those bytes off the camera and draw them in a native window, but that means we have to write a separate version for Mac and Windows, and that sucks too. Or we could do this. This is an emerging solution metaphor that's it showed up on the QuickTime list a couple months ago. I've actually been working with some people from Apple, and they say to do it this way too. Here is how this game works. We can do this entirely in Java. Start with your camera. You set up something called a sequence grabber data proc. That means give me callbacks. Every time you give the camera some time, some CPU time, you're going to get a callback in a Java method called execute. And what you do in that execute method, you say, okay, first, am I getting audio or video? If I'm getting audio, I don't care, so return immediately. If I'm getting video, I'm going to create a QuickTime object called a raw encoded image. It wraps a byte array. Well, I've also set up for myself a Java 2D buffered image, and it has a byte array. And I know with a Java 2D image, that I could build an AWT component or a swing component that just takes that off-screen buffered image and blitz it right into the component. So all I have to do when I get this callback is I'm going to take that byte array from the QuickTime raw encoded image, copy it to the byte array of a buffered image, and then repaint. Do this enough times, and you have a working QuickTime video preview. Indeed, I think I should demo it. So let me go find my terminal. SG preview test. I should have brought water. I'm sorry, I've been coughing into the mic. Okay, this is the settings window. This is actually a native window. You get this with a single line call. You get the video channel from the capture object, which is called the sequence grabber. You get the video channel and you say do dialogue, and then you get this. And this allows you to like set the compression for when you're saving the movie. You can change the source if you had like multiple cameras. I'm just using the EyeSight here. And I hit OK. And there is a working preview. And this is being done entirely in Java. So as you can see, the frame refresh is actually pretty darn good for a 1.3 gigahertz iBook. Cooper has a question. How hard is it hammering my CPU? You know what? Let's bring up the activity monitor. It wasn't hammering my G5 real bad, but this is a slighter computer. So let's watch the CPU usage down there, which is going to spike a little bit as the app starts. And let's see. That's looking like 70-80% right there. Right now in this, I'm doing like a 10 millisecond wait or a sleep. At the bottom, you could make it less. You could sacrifice frames if you wanted to. You can even tell the sequence grabber up front, I only want to capture 15 or 10 or 8 frames a second. This is going as fast as it can. So on this laptop, that was burning about 80% of CPU. So that's pretty hot, but you know, you would have the ability programmatically to cool it down. And while I am here, let me just show you. I was saving this to disk. So if I open previewgrab.move, it's going to take us into QuickTime Player. And there, as you can see, is a perfectly normal QuickTime movie that we just captured entirely with Java and QuickTime for Java. And that was...
Is the raw capture raw image?
Yeah, it was raw. Sorry? Oh, the question was that just the raw dump? It was raw captured, not compressed at all. Because that was the first thing I could do on the settings dialog. You want to see how large that file is? Because like I said, that was uncompressed. If I do a... If I list the size of all my movies, that was like 61 megs for 10 or 20 seconds of video. So that's it. Yeah, if you've got the CPU, you'd like to compress up front, because usually it's good to, if you can capture for like professional reasons, if you can capture uncompressed, it's generally good for archiving. But, you know, you're talking about a whole lot of disk space if you don't compress first. Yeah. And again, you know, if you're doing an app more like, say, like a webcam, like a conferencing application, you would never want to capture 30 frames or 60 frames a second anyway, because you'd never get it through whatever pipe you were sending through either. So in most cases, people are going to capture a lot slower than that, probably more like 15 or even 10 frames a second for conferencing. I'm a little behind, so I better see how many of my slides I have left. I'm 5 minutes over. I'm glad there's not another talk here. Oh, Gary tells me I'm the last speaker, so I can take my time. So. Yes, here's that diagram again. I'm going to put these slides up on the lloyd.dev.java.net project so you can come back and take a look. Eventually, this code will be up there. That code for that preview is not up there yet. I'm having a problem where it crashes after 30 seconds, and it drives me nuts because Apple has a really ugly version where everything's all in one class and it doesn't crash. And then mine is in three classes, and it's very pretty because there's a test class, and then there's just the class for pumping the bytes from the QuickTime side to the Java side, and then there's the everything else, and it's just really, really pretty code, and it crashes. So that's a drag. Excuse me. So what are the challenges of this project? Well, the status of QuickTime for Java is never really clear. You know, we keep asking Apple, like, fix stuff, give us back our video preview, and we never hear back, but Apple's been answering more and more questions on the QuickTime-Java mailing list recently, so they might be interested in QuickTime for Java again. That'd be kind of nice. The project owner, me, has no damn time to work on this because I'm spending so much time editing JavaNet and on Java, mostly JavaNet. And frankly, this is technically difficult. You know, straight C QuickTime programming, as I've discovered, it's a real bitch. But some of these tasks we can do in pure Java. That camera capture, as you saw, was pure Java. Things like doing better control components could be an all Java thing where it's just a matter of, you know, imaging something in AWT or Swing, catching the mouse movements, tracking them, dragging them. You know, we can do most of this stuff in Java. It's just a couple things like where there's some new native API we want to be able to call. That's going to require some JNI work. So, this is our time for conclusions and questions and answers. The URLs you should care about, lloyd.dev.java.net. It's still in the Mac incubator. There's not much code there now. More is coming. You can also join the QuickTime Java mailing list, which is a bottomless font of information at lists.apple.com/QuickTime-Java. You can also buy my book, QuickTime for Java, A Developer's Notebook. You apparently can't buy it here. I didn't see it over at Digital Gurus, so you're probably headed to Amazon if you're interested in this stuff. And that is the end of my talk, and I've got time for questions because there's no more speakers. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Lloyd extends QuickTime for Java. Well, folks, that wraps up our mini-talks for Java.net Community Corner today. We'll be back again bright and early tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, so come join us then.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner podcast. Come visit us at Pod 532 on the pavilion floor and check out our website at jnpodcasts.dev.java.net, where you'll find show notes and a feed for all our Java 1 2006 podcasts.